Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 43, August 26th, 2010.
Although it is a little more muggy here than in Seattle.
I bet.
You don't look at it that way because Seattle's so close to the ocean. I don't know, you'd think it was more humid there, but it's the other way around for some reason.
Well, we've got that big old river.
The big old river, they got the big old ocean.
And a different one too.
Wait.
That ocean.
Who is that? What is that voice?
Hi.
So we have joining us finally, Rachel Smith.
Hello.
And I'm Dave Barger.
And I'm Ansley Phones.
And we are here with the Social Expedition, here kind of focusing a little bit more this time on location-based services, speaking of getting around the planet, as well as our guest, Chris O'Connor, going to share some video insights with us here. And so, you know, speaking of traveling and getting around, kind of the focus of what we're going to talk about today is mainly location-based services, and with that, the highlight being Foursquare. Of course, here last week, Facebook Places came out.
Actually came out about 30 minutes before our Twilight Camp last week. So that was one of the primary topics of our discussion there. We were playing around with it.
That's right. Yeah, it was at the end of the day.
4:30 Central, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so we were watching it, trying to catch the live stream. It was delayed a little bit. So finally, Marky Z gets up there and makes a quick introduction, followed by...
Awkward remarks.
The product manager. And then what I thought was great is they had, first it was Foursquare get up on the stage and talk about how they're going to be integrating this Facebook Places API into Foursquare. And then GoWalla gets up on the stage and they talk about what they're doing. And then if that wasn't already good enough, then Yelp gets up on the stage and talks about what they're going to be doing with the Facebook API, which I thought was very interesting because I don't know if it was probably 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how Google was kind of eating Yelp alive. And so this very interesting looked like a nice little alliance, so to speak, being formed up there with Facebook and the other players in the space that are already out there, one of which is not having a good time with Google, that being Yelp. So Yelp was at the GnomeDex, the third conference I went to. They were there. It was mainly booth type people, not really product type folks. So it was an interesting conversation. They didn't get very deep. It was very topical, very superficial, that kind of thing. So one of the things we talked about was, people will pay more attention to what locals are recommending than tourists. So the booth people said, "Hey, well, that's cool. Go to the website and put that in as a suggestion." There, it's like, "Nah, I'm not doing that." You know what I mean? I've just told Yelp people, and that's fine. So I tweeted it out. Some other people agreed that you know, sure, that makes good sense, and there it lies. Yelp can go get it if they want. But there's some other services that are out there also now focusing specifically on the local thing. So with Foursquare being the big guy, so Foursquare still is a big boy out there in Seattle. There were a lot more people that are out there using GoWalla than you would find here in Memphis. But still Foursquare was the big one. And then, of course, that day with the Facebook Places check-in, you know, there were only probably, I'd say, less than 5% of the attendees that were interested in trying out Places, me being one of them.
Right.
Which launched the last day of the privacy conference that I was there, the PII 2010.
Ironically enough.
Yeah. Yay for Facebook in that there were actually some people at the privacy conference who had been consulted by Facebook. That Facebook went to them and said, "Hey, this is what we're looking at rolling out, you privacy professional. What do you think about it? Do we have our bases covered? Are we going to make people happy here?" And so they got the thumbs up, evidently, from some of these privacy professionals, these consultants, and then evidently changed their mind. According to the privacy,
the consultants changed their mind.
No. Facebook said, "Okay, thank you very much. Hey, we appreciate that. You know, appreciate the input and all that." And we're going to
ignore your suggestions.
I think they ignored a couple of them.
Yeah. Selective hearing.
Sure.
I've always been accused of that as well.
Yeah. So I think one of them was being able to tag your friends at a location, and that is kind of a problem. That is where a lot of people are getting a little upset with this notion.
That is an awkward thing, but I felt a lot better about that feature when I realized that Facebook Places, I believe, also integrates with lists. So you can make a list and make it so only those people can see your Facebook Places check-ins
Only those people are allowed to tag you in places?
I'm not sure that it has that feature.
Right.
If I only pick 5 people that I'm okay with seeing regardless, you know, then if Dave checks me in someplace,
right,
even if he's not allowed to see it.
I'm sure it'll also be one of those features that sort of, when it's rolled out a little more, that'll be some of the settings that are edited a bit better. For now, I know on my profile, I have it set to where no one can tag me, because if I'm somewhere and I don't need someone to know that, then... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to have to announce it at the table or anything like that. Nobody check me in.
No
Facebook
one check
places.
Me in because I'm shady. No.
And you had to go in and opt out.
I did have to opt out. So the default is now set to where whenever Facebook Places rolled out, then it just said, like, hey, here you go. People can tag you. So you do have to opt out of that option.
I read that Facebook Places was opt-in, but, you know, looking at the settings, it appeared I was signed up for everything.
Me too. So, who knows?
So, you know, so the conversation, a lot of people still, hey, what's the deal with this? Checking in places? I don't get it. You know, it makes no sense. And when I actually heard a couple of people raise these questions about why, you know, what's the utility in this? It reminded me exactly of the same argument that people had delivered in the same way with the same enunciation and everything about why mess with Twitter?
Or why status updates?
You know.
Well, and I tell you what, a lot of people still have that view towards Twitter.
Yeah, I think everybody does when you first look at it. And it's not until you actually use it that you can begin to recognize some utility in it. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the same thing with Foursquare, I would imagine. As you start to use it, then, you know, you recognize some utility.
Right.
Interestingly enough, I was able to visit with my old shipmate from years gone by. So he's a young man still. Paul Rancourt.
He is. You're not.
And so when I got back to Memphis, I was had some time in the airport waiting on luggage. So I was like, oh, okay, let me fumble around with this Facebook Places thing while I'm passing time and just check in at the airport. Well, I found everything I needed to, and I went ahead and did. I just checked in at Memphis International Airport. So Paul, back in Seattle, sees this and makes a comment on there, like, oh, hey, glad you made it home, okay, right. You know, and that kind of thing. So it's like, that's real utility. You know, so I didn't have to make a comment about having been out there or blah, blah, blah. He just saw that I was back and was like, hey, glad you made it home.
Right.
You know, so that was good. That was some kind of, you know, unanticipated utility.
Sure. Well, I think there's a few other purposes besides just that, or that really was another concept in that, you know, parents are starting to get these mobile devices where they can track their children. This is maybe going a little over the top, but let's say that you tell your child, hey, you are allowed to go to this location for this amount of time, but you want your child to report in. Whereas, you know, there are obviously children out there who are saying, yeah, I'm going to go to the movies, but really they're going somewhere else. So you can also use it in that sense if you are a parent and say, hey, whenever you get to Starbucks or, you know, the cinema, please check in so that I can monitor that.
You know, I thought about that when I first started using Foursquare.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that if I were a teenager, I would tell my parents, listen, I'll check in on Foursquare when I get there, and not tell my parents that you don't actually have to be there
Correct.
To check in.
Correct.
And I was like, if I were a teenager, I would totally do that because my parents wouldn't know.
I do think, though, that one of the things that will evolve the longer that this sort of hangs around is that that's another thing that they're going to sort of set up a blockade against, maybe, in that there right now, let's say that you are more than, I think it's maybe 1,500 yards or something away from a location, you cannot check in there and receive the points or the credit for being there. So maybe in the future, Facebook will set up something where if you are not within a certain distance, then you cannot check, you can't even check into that place. I don't know. It's a possibility.
Well, if those kids are clever enough, there are ways to use a fake GPS location through your phone that has nothing to do with the application of Foursquare.
True. Well, there's the check-in thing. One of the folks that was there at the privacy conference, she made note of the fact that some of these kids are leaving their phones, these GPS phones, in the library where they told mom and dad that they would be, and they're actually off.
Interesting.
You know, yeah. But on the location-based services, as far as utility to, let's say, business.
People who aren't trying to lie to their parents.
On Foursquare, it's possible, because some will call it a game, and it is a game, wherein you can become the mayor of a location based on the frequency of check-ins.
Right.
And there were some businesses early on that were giving special favors to the mayor. That's kind of evolved a lot, because that's very, you know, there's one person that gets to be the mayor.
Right.
So more and more businesses now are.
Well, I know even in the UK, Domino's Pizza is offering a special right now where whoever the mayor is gets free pizza for a month. And I'm sure that there are, you know, certain how you can't order 50 pizzas in one month. But still, the mayor is obviously more handsomely rewarded than other check-ins as it goes right now on Foursquare.
But the handsomely,
and rightfully so.
The handsomely and the pizza for a month, they probably would be followed up with the, become the mayor of the gym down the street.
Right. You know? Free pizzas and a gym membership because you will need it.
Well, speaking of checking in, let's check in over with Chris.
All right. Well, joining us today, we have Chris O'Connor, who's the founder and president of Prodigy, which is the professional digital arts,
yes,
as well as Zach Waters, who's the executive vice president of Prodigy. Now, I have to ask, you know, like a bank, you know, everybody running around, this is either the president and then, you know, VPs all over the place. So how many folks are there?
There are 11 of us total.
Okay. So the EVP, not everybody's an EVP. That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, so tell us first, you know, what is it that you guys do? What is Prodigy?
Well, Prodigy Arts is a collective of some of the top designers, videographers, and animators in this region. We specialize in graphic design, innovative graphic design, video production. We shoot high def and also standard definition, and then animation and motion graphics.
When you say motion graphics... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I imagine so many people will be thinking, well, isn't that just a movie?
Motion graphics is a little different.
Okay. Yeah, well, tell us.
Motion graphics is a way to bring together two-dimensional designs and move them. So if a person has a logo, mm-hmm. we can move that logo and not make it three-dimensional.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for example, like our logo, you guys are working on a movie for us. Mm-hmm. An end cap type of thing. So we gave you our regular good old two-dimensional logo, mm-hmm. and you are bringing it to life.
Well, yeah, and actually with your logo, it will be three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. So that would be animation.
Okay.
But for instance, if you had a flower shop, we can make flowers grow on the screen and just add motion to the graphics.
Okay.
So if you had a brochure, of course it's two-dimensional, it's flat, it's on paper. We'll make that same two-dimensional design move.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then that's primarily going on the web, or are you guys creating, you know, CDs, DVDs for people? Or
Well, yeah, that's going on the web. Also, we can put an introductory onto your DVD.
Sometimes it's used for demo reels. Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you guys doing anything that's also winding up on classic television for, like, commercials and that kind of thing?
Yeah. We're actually doing Indie Memphis right now for the film festival, mm-hmm. October, late October. That'll air on Comcast, 30-second spot. We're animating and bringing motion graphics into it as well.
And then also Teens Inc. in California, we use motion graphics to do a commercial for them as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like a television type of commercial.
Yes.
Okay. So along with that, you guys also shoot video with a camera.
Yes.
Not just computer generated.
Right.
And so what kinds of things do you guys find in yourself shooting?
Well, a lot of documentaries.
Testimonials.
Yeah. Actually, our creative video director, who's the head of the video department, he just won an Emmy Award for shooting the National Guard footage that you see in the on the commercials and in the movie theaters.
Now, I see it in the movie theaters because we don't have TV at our house. But that's some impressive stuff. So this is that before the movie starts. Mm-hmm. I don't know, what is it, like maybe 3 minutes long or something like that?
This epic National Guard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's very moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, very impactful. So with that, you know, you were talking about testimonials.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of a big thing these days because, you know, through the years, you know, we've been at this for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, you know, people go away and come back in 5 minutes with their testimonials to give us to put on their websites. Like, okay, mm-hmm. sure. So there was this nebulous things like Dave from Memphis said, "You guys are outstanding, walk on water, etc." But with testimonials, there's this richer connection.
Yes.
Where do you guys stand on that? What are your feelings?
Well, the different, and I've actually seen some of your videos that you've done at GPAC and everything. And the only difference is that usually it's for something that's heart-wrenching. If there's been a family issue or if there's someone that's famous. One example we had, there was a lady, she was sick in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really know exactly who she was, but she was someone special to some people. So they made a video of it. And we would put music behind it and, add some visual effects to it just to make it more captivating.
Some visual effects and some music to make it more captivating. Because
yes.
You're trying to maybe, I don't know, tug at some heartstrings at that point or something, you know, which, you know, I mean, that's what you're trying to do, you know, trying to make that, you know, that emotional connection with people, you know, depending on the type of site and, you know, if they're asking for help, you know, from the community for donations or this type of thing.
Exactly.
There's a book that if you hadn't read, I'm in the middle of it. I may actually finish it. It's called Switch, and it talks about causing change in people, and that you can talk to their intellect all you want, but you have to make an emotional connection for them to take action on something.
Exactly.
And so that's what you're doing.
Yes.
So with that, tell us, you know, the music part. Some people that are, you know, no doubt listening are trying to do some things on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got their own camera, their own equipment, software, and they may not be able to do all the enhancements that you guys can, given the space age technologies that you guys are using.
Right.
So their budget's a lot different. So music sounds like that may be something that they could maybe easily add to some of their own in-house footage.
Yes. Music, which is also something that we enjoy doing. We actually do our own music.
Whoa.
It's not difficult, especially if you have any kind of musical ear. There are programs that you can use yourself, like Fruity Loops, GarageBand.
Did you say Fruity Loops?
Yeah, Fruity Loops.
Okay.
where you can do your own music, GarageBand.
I can't think of the Adobe Sound.
Yeah, there's Adobe Sound, and Sound Booth, and then Pro Tools. Those are more advanced, but we use programs like that. And then if you're unable to do that, you can always buy stock music.
Mm-hmm.
Go through a list of music, pick the one you like, and add it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do that, the stock thing?
Yeah, we actually have.
We have, and we definitely started out using stock.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've gotten more people together on the music end, we've started producing our own music, just realizing how important it is, mm-hmm. how much it separates this from the rest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
it is very interesting. I mean, you know, the music thing, even just like in the last day, like soundtracks to movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take that music off and it's just the movie, it's completely different.
It changes everything.
Yeah. and it's so much if you were just to listen to the music and didn't have any the narrative or mm-hmm. any mm-hmm. visual, you still get a lot of the emotion that the movie's trying to convey.
Right.
Without the visual and whatnot. So it's a pretty hefty ingredient.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know?
It's very important.
Well, it's tricky sometimes, you know, not having the music override the video as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's an important thing, you know, to mm-hmm. to not have it overpower the video and take away from the original message that you are trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
So by overpower, Zach, you're not talking about just volume-wise. You're talking about...
Too many elements, too many layers, mm-hmm. Just too much going on in general. I feel like a lot of people do end up using stock music because it's simplistic. It's mm-hmm. it's just got almost kind of your elevator sound to it. Mm-hmm. It's in the background, stagnant in the background, mm-hmm. definitely. So,
well, tell us a little bit more about Prodigy Arts. Are you like still in a startup mode? Would you consider it that, or well, you're growing? I know that.
Yeah, we are actually. Prodigy was something that I started when I was a student in 2005, when mm-hmm. I was at Middle Tennessee State.
Okay.
It started with myself and another friend of mine who's still involved. And actually, I was able to just network well and really get on my professor's good side. So they really helped me build and grow and start finding local talent and local clients. One of my primary goals was to find the top creative individuals in each field, which was animation, and then, of course, video with Joel Levins. He's the guy who won the Emmy.
Okay.
And also my lifelong friend, Zach Waters. I've known him since childhood. So I started by building that small core team and getting smaller clients. From there, I wanted to learn more about marketing and branding, and so I went and joined with the Germantown Performing Arts Center mm-hmm. and started there. So even though I was there, I was building my contacts, building my networks, and learning more about business in general.
Okay.
And that was about 2008. So people ask, when do we start? I say it was founded in 2005, but we actually got started in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, we've grown a lot, and we've started to get quite an impressive client list.
So where can we find your stuff online?
It's at www.prodigyarts.com, and it's Prodigy with an I. It's PRODIGIARTS.com.
Okay.
And of course, Facebook.
Of course,
if you,
Facebook.
If you want to stay consistent with us mm-hmm. as possible, check out Facebook.
Do you guys put some of your movies out there on Facebook?
Yes.
Yes.
So you know, talking about like where you put movies and whatnot. So you obviously produce them.
Mm-hmm.
What about like promoting them, the distribution online?
Mm-hmm. Actually, Facebook is great with that. And we actually will put the videos on YouTube and mm-hmm. then post a link on Facebook for people to see.
We find like one of the biggest mistakes a lot of people make is that are shooting their own is they'll put it up on these various platforms, you know, YouTube, et cetera, but they won't go through, they won't take the extra step of giving it a good title, giving mm-hmm. it a good description and tagging it
mm-hmm.
so that people can find it.
Right.
You know, so it's for search engine, but then also there's Google juice to be had there with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you find that you have your clients come to you for those kinds of things? Or are you turning over the raw video and they are adding all the descriptions and the title and tagging it and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we usually just turn over the raw video.
Okay, great, great. Now, how do you price things?
It depends. We price things hourly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really just depends on how complicated the work that you're requesting is.
Okay.
So sometimes it's cheaper, sometimes it's more expensive. And then if you want a higher end production or piece and you don't have the budget for it, we have ways of cutting back our time.
Okay, great.
To make it more affordable for you.
We get into that too. It's like, you know, looking for the cost advantages to cut corners and still trying to get the same thing done. That's great. So you like for us, we came to you and said, hey, we're looking at the end of our videos. We want to have this little fade out type end cap
mm-hmm.
going on. And you gave us a fixed price.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that primarily how you guys work? You know, you kind of wrap your mind around what needs to be done and then give your prospect or your client a mm-hmm. fixed cost mm-hmm. and then...
Well, mm-hmm. what we usually do is we try to figure out how many team members will be involved in the production.
Mm-hmm.
So how much money it will take to pay the team. And then, of course, enough to make some profit.
Yeah.
And then try to make it as affordable as possible.
Okay. Okay. That's great. I just trying to like paint the picture as far mm-hmm. as, okay... You know, is it just an hourly thing and you pay as you go, or mm-hmm. is somebody going to know what they're in for, what they're going to get, and when they're going to get it
right.
Going into it?
Well, they usually, of course, they know, and if anything changes, we let them know ahead of time if anything's going to change mm-hmm. and make sure that we work with them.
Great, great. That's good. That's keeping everybody on the same page is yes. essential.
Yes. yes.
Even at home, it's not just a business thing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hey, we look forward to having you out next Wednesday morning, 7:30.
Yeah.
And we'll get you up there a little bit after, right after 8 o'clock to talk about what's going on in video and the web and a little bit about what you guys are up to.
Okay.
And so thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that's some interesting info about web video.
Yeah, you know, I guess video's been around a long time. It's just become so much easier to use now that it's just so prevalent. Somebody was talking recently, of course, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk in the last week, but somebody was talking about how we're kind of in the writing age, in the age of reading. I was like, well, I don't know. There's a lot of people that are out there consuming lots of information via audio and video instead of your classic reading thing going on. So I'm sure it's a mix. But hey, back on the location-based thing, to me, it's like, hey, forget the mayor. It should be anybody who's willing to check in and share the fact that they're checking in at your establishment with their friends needs something. You know, they need to be recognized somehow. I don't know, a free small fry in that example. You know, I don't know. I'm sure that's a very,
$2 off your check.
Yeah.
Something
yeah,
little.
Yeah, I've seen, some restaurants will do a free appetizer if you order an entree. They give you a free appetizer, and you show the wait person that you've checked in.
I actually asked. I went to Sephora over the weekend and actually asked the person working the register if they had a check-in discount. And she was like, check-in? Foursquare what?
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually read somewhere that Sephora was doing something with Foursquare, but I couldn't cite it, so I didn't give her a hard time about it.
In addition to checking in, you can also leave a tip.
Right.
A tip as in a note about the experience. And it doesn't have to be positive either. So you can recommend people, hey, check out the sweet tea, you know, but you can also let them know that it bites. And so for businesses, they should start paying attention to the comments that people are making on there. I was talking to a local restaurateur a few weeks back who monitors the social space by going to TripAdvisor. Like, hey, don't forget about us locals, man. You know, so there's you know, Yelp, you know, namely Yelp is, you know, should be a staple for any business that's out there looking to see what kind of comments people are making and claiming your business and being able to respond back. So with Foursquare, there's a lot going on here. So check it out. It may not make much sense initially, but people get hooked on it because you get little tokens, you know, you get a little stamp, these kinds of things. You earn little badges and stuff. And I was talking to a fella who said, I don't know why I do this. He says, it's stupid. He says, but I do it. It's because it's fun.
Well, interestingly enough, you can actually, if you're really into your badges, there are sites out there who produce tangible badges. So you can actually order the pins that you have collected through Foursquare.
Can you get your mommy to sew them on your Boy Scout jacket?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they actually come, I know they can come from Etsy.com, which that sounds like totally really? A commercial. The only reason I'm putting it out there is because that's all sort of like local handmade organic production. So yeah.
Right.
Well, that's fun.
Cheers for Etsy and Foursquare.
Oh yeah.
So check out Foursquare. You know, as odd as it sounds. But then also join us next week.
We've got the breakfast on Wednesday at 7:30 a.m. at the University of Memphis Holiday Inn with our speaker, who was our guest today, Chris O'Connor of Prodigy Arts. He's going to be talking about video in the social space. And so we're really excited about that. And that is this upcoming Wednesday. And then we will have Twilight Camp next month. Instead of Davis Kitt. So we hope you will join us for that and watch for the meetup email about that.
Speaking of meetups, if you're a WordPress geek, check out WordPress Memphis. LunaWeb's going to be hosting their meetup in a couple of weeks. And that's being put together by Beth Sanders.
That's actually it's like a week and a half. It's on the 7th, which is just around the corner.
Yeah. Oh, and tonight we've got the Memphis PHP coming out here again. Maybe with the help of some other local companies. So we'll see how that turns out.
And speaking of Foursquare Memphis, if you want to check out the Twitter handle, Foursquare Memphis, 4 being the numeric 4, then Square Memphis, you can see all of the local deals and promotions that are going on through that. Mm-hmm. We're just tossing them up there as they come out.
We'll have a link to that in the podcast notes. And y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency, meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.